the evidence is silent until someone gives it meaning. That is where analysis becomes useful and where confidence can become dangerous. You're listening to Behavioral Case Files, the history of the FBI Behavioral Science Unit and the investigation of serial murder. I'm Herb Trevathan. Behavioral Case Files is an independent educational podcast. It is not affiliated with, endorsed by, sponsored by, or produced by the Federal Bureau of Investigation or any other law enforcement agency. This is S02E07, Victimology Explained. Today, we're examining why a victim-centered reconstruction is essential and ethically demanding. Victimology reconstructs routines and circumstances of contact. Its purpose is understanding opportunity and selection, never assigning responsibility to the victim. For why a victim-centered reconstruction is essential and ethically demanding, the practical question is what the claim allows an investigator to do next. A useful conclusion names its basis, its limits, and the action that could test it. That makes disagreement visible and reviewable. The public version often begins with certainty. The working version should make room for competing explanations. Behavioral information earns its place when it helps physical evidence, timelines, records, interviews, and witness accounts work together. It cannot manufacture evidence that the case does not contain. This distinction is more than a disclaimer. It changes the language of the conclusion, possible, more consistent with, less consistent with, or unsupported on the present record. Calibrated language sounds less dramatic, it is more honest, and usually more useful. There is also a difference between helping and predicting. Advice may be valuable because it exposes a missing interview, a timeline conflict, a possible case connection, or an overlooked feature of why a victim-centered reconstruction is essential and ethically demanding. None of those contributions requires a claim that the analyst can reconstruct an unknown person's life from a handful of scene details. The narrower claim is easier to test and safer to revise. Finally, the record must preserve failure. If only memorable successes are retold, confidence grows while knowledge does not. A fair case review records what the analyst received, what was said before the outcome, which recommendations were used, what independent evidence moved the case, and where the advice was wrong or too broad to evaluate. That standard protects investigators, subjects, victims, and the credibility of the field. A scene fact is not a personality trait. An offender statement is not corroboration. An institutional memory is not a controlled study. Every analytical statement should be traceable to an observation, a source, or a clearly labeled inference. For why a victim-centered reconstruction is essential and ethically demanding, the practical question is what the claim allows an investigator to do next. A useful conclusion names its basis, its limits, and the action that could test it. That makes disagreement visible and reviewable. The public version often begins with certainty. The working version should make room for competing explanations. Behavioral information earns its place when it helps physical evidence, timelines, records, interviews, and witness accounts work together. It cannot manufacture evidence that the case does not contain. This distinction is more than a disclaimer. It changes the language of the conclusion, possible, more consistent with, less consistent with, or unsupported on the present record. Calibrated language sounds less dramatic, it is more honest, and usually more useful. There is also a difference between helping and predicting. Advice may be valuable because it exposes a missing interview, a timeline conflict, a possible case connection, or an overlooked feature of why a victim-centered reconstruction is essential and ethically demanding. None of those contributions requires a claim that the analyst can reconstruct an unknown person's life from a handful of scene details. The narrower claim is easier to test and safer to revise. Finally, the record must preserve failure. If only memorable successes are retold, confidence grows while knowledge does not. A fair case review records what the analyst received, what was said before the outcome, which recommendations were used, what independent evidence moved the case, and where the advice was wrong or too broad to evaluate. That standard protects investigators, subjects, victims, and the credibility of the field. Error can enter through incomplete scenes, selected files, interviewer expectations, memory, coding, and hindsight. A successful arrest can cause earlier statements to be interpreted more generously than they were at the time. But why a victim-centered reconstruction is essential and ethically demanding, the practical question is what the claim allows an investigator to do next. A useful conclusion names its basis, its limits, and the action that could test it. That makes disagreement visible and reviewable. The public version often begins with certainty. The working version should make room for competing explanations. Behavioral information earns its place when it helps physical evidence, timelines, records, interviews, and witness accounts work together. It cannot manufacture evidence that the case does not contain. This distinction is more than a disclaimer. It changes the language of the conclusion, possible, more consistent with, less consistent with, or unsupported on the present record. Calibrated language sounds less dramatic, it is more honest, and usually more useful. There is also a difference between helping and predicting. Advice may be valuable because it exposes a missing interview, a timeline conflict, a possible case connection, or an overlooked feature of why a victim-centered reconstruction is essential and ethically demanding. None of those contributions requires a claim that the analyst can reconstruct an unknown person's life from a handful of scene details. The narrower claim is easier to test and safer to revise. Finally, the record must preserve failure. If only memorable successes are retold, confidence grows while knowledge does not. A fair case review records what the analyst received, what was said before the outcome, which recommendations were used, what independent evidence moved the case, and where the advice was wrong or too broad to evaluate. That standard protects investigators, subjects, victims, and the credibility of the field. Start with a ledger, known facts, disputed facts, missing facts, and inferences. Record alternatives before the outcome is known. State what new information would strengthen or weaken each explanation. For why a victim-centered reconstruction is essential and ethically demanding, the practical question is what the claim allows an investigator to do next. A useful conclusion names its basis, its limits, and the action that could test it. That makes disagreement visible and reviewable. The public version often begins with certainty. The working version should make room for competing explanations. Behavioral information earns its place when it helps physical evidence, timelines, records, interviews, and witness accounts work together. It cannot manufacture evidence that the case does not contain. This distinction is more than a disclaimer. It changes the language of the conclusion, possible, more consistent with, less consistent with, or unsupported on the present record. Calibrated language sounds less dramatic, it is more honest, and usually more useful. There is also a difference between helping and predicting. Advice may be valuable because it exposes a missing interview, a timeline conflict, a possible case connection, or an overlooked feature of why a victim-centered reconstruction is essential and ethically demanding. None of those contributions requires a claim that the analyst can reconstruct an unknown person's life from a handful of scene details. The narrower claim is easier to test and safer to revise. Finally, the record must preserve failure. If only memorable successes are retold, confidence grows while knowledge does not. A fair case review records what the analyst received, what was said before the outcome, which recommendations were used, what independent evidence moved the case, and where the advice was wrong or too broad to evaluate. That standard protects investigators, subjects, victims, and the credibility of the field. A plausible but mistaken theory can consume hours, intensify attention on an innocent person, reinforce stereotypes, or delay a stronger lead. The response is calibrated action, not paralysis. For why a victim-centered reconstruction is essential and ethically demanding, the practical question is what the claim allows an investigator to do next. A useful conclusion names its basis, its limits, and the action that could test it. That makes disagreement visible and reviewable. The public version often begins with certainty. The working version should make room for competing explanations. Behavioral information earns its place when it helps physical evidence, timelines, records, interviews, and witness accounts work together. It cannot manufacture evidence that the case does not contain. This distinction is more than a disclaimer. It changes the language of the conclusion, possible, more consistent with, less consistent with, or unsupported on the present record. Calibrated language sounds less dramatic, it is more honest, and usually more useful. There is also a difference between helping and predicting. Advice may be valuable because it exposes a missing interview, a timeline conflict, a possible case connection, or an overlooked feature of why a victim-centered reconstruction is essential and ethically demanding. None of those contributions requires a claim that the analyst can reconstruct an unknown person's life from a handful of scene details. The narrower claim is easier to test and safer to revise. Finally, the record must preserve failure. If only memorable successes are retold, confidence grows while knowledge does not. A fair case review records what the analyst received, what was said before the outcome, which recommendations were used, what independent evidence moved the case, and where the advice was wrong or too broad to evaluate. That standard protects investigators, subjects, victims, and the credibility of the field. Good practice offers a lawful next step, states uncertainty, preserves alternatives, and changes when evidence changes. It never asks a behavioral impression to carry the weight of identification, probable cause, or guilt. For why a victim-centered reconstruction is essential and ethically demanding, the practical question is what the claim allows an investigator to do next. A useful conclusion names its basis, its limits, and the action that could test it. That makes disagreement visible and reviewable. The public version often begins with certainty. The working version should make room for competing explanations. Behavioral information earns its place when it helps physical evidence, timelines, records, interviews, and witness accounts work together. It cannot manufacture evidence that the case does not contain. This distinction is more than a disclaimer. It changes the language of the conclusion, possible, more consistent with, less consistent with, or unsupported on the present record. Calibrated language sounds less dramatic, it is more honest, and usually more useful. There is also a difference between helping and predicting. Advice may be valuable because it exposes a missing interview, a timeline conflict, a possible case connection, or an overlooked feature of why a victim-centered reconstruction is essential and ethically demanding. None of those contributions requires a claim that the analyst can reconstruct an unknown person's life from a handful of scene details. The narrower claim is easier to test and safer to revise. Finally, the record must preserve failure. If only memorable successes are retold, confidence grows while knowledge does not. A fair case review records what the analyst received, what was said before the outcome, which recommendations were used, what independent evidence moved the case, and where the advice was wrong or too broad to evaluate. That standard protects investigators, subjects, victims, and the credibility of the field. Season 2 follows the attempt to turn experience, interviews, and case records into repeatable practice. The question is not whether an idea sounds perceptive. It is whether the idea is defined, tested fairly, and used in proportion to the evidence. That's this case file. Source links and a transcript are included with the episode notes. If a factual correction is needed, it will be documented publicly. I'm Herb Trevathan. Thank you for listening to Behavioral Case Files.